Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast, a show that happens twice a week where two to three old guys talk about old games. I guess I should also mention this is Original Flavor Wednesday, where we play through IGN's Top 100.
We're exclusively sick on Wednesdays.
Yeah, and if I sound like Phoebe from the episode of Friends where she sings Sick, I am sick.
She sent, like, is that her new song, Sick?
Or Phoebe basically, her career sucks the whole way through, except when she gets sick, and she has, like, this sexy, sick voice, and, like, she gets really popular, but then it goes away, and of course.
So this is going to be the episode where you get extremely popular.
Yeah, that dog guy sounds so sexy.
That Tyler dude is,
You do kind of sound sexy.
Well, today, we are talking about IGN's 43rd ranked game, Breath of Fire.
Breath of Fire. One?
The original.
Just Breath
of Fire. Original flavor, Breath of Fire. Breath of Fire.
Breath of Fire is an entirely different sim clerical.
You play as Clippy from Microsoft Word.
And of all our pool of guest hosts, we have one person who'd played through the Breath of Fire game before. So we brought him on today, of mini show fame, Josh Nance.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Josh.
It's good to be back. Just for the record, I was asked to guest host.
You were specifically asked to come on this episode.
Sit down. Like, I played this. Go. I'm your beard host, Tyler, and I like to think of myself as a good friend. Like, I try to go out of my way to help my friends. Mm-hmm. I mentioned in middle school before, whenever I got caught masturbating, that I had a 2-inch thick printout front and back full color pornography.
I'm sorry, I didn't think you were gonna go with. I thought you were gonna go in a different direction.
No, I'm always going this direction.
I like that it's a 2-inch thick pornography.
It was
one pornography, please.
How thick do you want that pornography?
2 inches.
And it was something a lot of my friends that didn't have the internet were jealous of. Like, they would come over and immediately want to look through my pile of printed porn, the triple P. Pile of printed porn.
Right. Over the pop.
And my one of my friends, he was very, very excited.
This was Josh you're talking about, right?
If it was Josh, I'd say it was Josh's name. But this guy who is now, like,
the mayor.
he's some kind of religious figure now. So okay. This is what, you know, I helped him out in middle school.
So the mayor of God.
Yep. We were he spent the night at my house, and we were, like, watching TV in my room, and he's like, man, I need to see that stack of porn. Okay. So he takes it, and he's like, man, I really want to jerk off. It's like, it's midnight. I can't just, like, go in.
This ain't the jerking off hour.
This ain't jerk off hour. I'm just going to, if I leave my room at, like, midnight, my dad's going to fucking flip out. He's like, all right, I need you to do me a huge favor. Like, what? He's like, this is a really big favor. I really appreciate it.
I need you to suck my dick. Well,
he's like,
bro job.
He's like, but it's hard to jerk off and use this stack of printed porn. So if you do me a favor and sit at the edge of the bed, like, looking away from me, and just hold it up, and I'll say next. And, like, he would not leave me alone about it. Like, I'm tired of TVs, like, it's infomercials and shit, but he's just like, please, come on. Fine, man, fine. And I'm just, like, sitting there on the edge of the bed, just, like, lackadaisically holding up a picture. But he only gets, like, 3 pictures in before he's like, okay, I'm good.
So,
did it come or what?
Thank you, Josh.
That's my, to impress Phil Hawkins, who always enjoys Gouda-related humor.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping he was going to jerk off out the window. Like, I
stand up and...
Yeah, I like to think about a young boy just masturbating out the window at midnight. I'm Dave, your bespectacled host, and I have video games to thank for me being able to read and do math. I remember when, that's Tyler with a cough drop, by the way.
You hear
the,
oh, yeah, sorry about that. You hear the, let me try to minimize that.
Go ahead and get it out of your system. There we go. I'm going to hold up photographs while you do it.
Next.
All right.
Next.
All right.
I'm done.
Okay, good. I remember when I was a little kid, we had this TRS-80, which is essentially a computer that is a television with a cassette deck hooked up to it, and it had a keyboard. And I was probably about 5 years old, and that's when I remember how I learned how to add to 21, because there was a blackjack game that my dad taught me how to play. And he got tired of me asking him how to play, so he just taught me how to add to 21. but he played these really cool games that had words, and I didn't know what they said, so I wanted to learn how to read so I could play these games. And I remember going to the bookstore with him when I was like 5 years old, and I picked up a book off the shelf. I'll never forget this book, because I grabbed it because I thought the name was so funny. It was just the funniest book in the world to me. It was Where Is Willy Worm? And I didn't think it was funny because of the alliteration. I thought it was funny because worm is what I called my gooter.
Yeah.
When I was that age. So I was expecting a big book just full of worm jokes. Instead, I was treated to a lovely story about a worm who escapes the clutches of a robin.
Heavy in metaphors, I see.
But there's a hole drilled in the whole book, right? And there's supposed to, I was looking online today, right? No, I didn't. No, I didn't put my dick in it.
Was it 2 inches thick?
2 inches thick. That was my pornography. It was supposed to, I was looking online and I was like, I wonder, cause I've got this book still. And I was like, I wonder if this is worth anything. It was selling on Amazon for like $48, but it had like this little like stuffed worm that's supposed to go in the hole. Mm-hmm. All these years, I had no idea that a worm was supposed to go in that hole. I just thought it was just interesting book with a hole in the middle. I'm sure everyone listening who's read Where's Willy Worm just really enjoys that story.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just really, it's really just hammered home.
Josh.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. Okay. So I could tell a masturbation story or about my first reading experiences.
Yeah, your pick.
Okay. Are they similar?
Yes.
I really wanted to masturbate.
About the same time, yeah.
Josh didn't read until he was 13 years old.
Actually, you telling the story, Dave, reminded me. In high school, I actually got in an argument with a friend. He didn't think I read enough, and he was trying to get me to read all these books. And I argued the point that I read a lot because I played a lot of RPGs. You do a lot of fucking reading in RPGs and math too, because I remember simple math. Final Fantasy 1, whenever I was playing through that, it came with like a little guide with all the different monsters you could fight, their hit points, and you have no kind of indication in the game about how much hit points they have left. So I would get a calculator, put in the number of feet you've got porn on your back.
Yeah, no, I'm listening. No, I'm listening. It's fine. It's fine. It's on mute.
It's at least 2 inches thick.
Here, I'll turn it so you don't have to view it, okay? You feel better?
No, it's okay. Can we turn
it? Or you turn around and turn it toward us. Yeah. So we can view it.
You tell me next and I'll switch tabs.
It's going to take at least half an hour to find. Let's find the perfect one, though.
Yeah, trust me, man. It takes more than half an hour. So anyway, math.
So math, learn to read. All right, let's go.
Concentrate, Josh. Concentrate.
That's good. That was my point. I don't know why we're hanging on this. Let's.
I like to imagine you as a 13-year-old in your room, like Goodwill Hunting style. Like, is that the movie where the guy did all the math?
That or Beautiful Mind. That's
what Beautiful Mind. What's that math movie? I imagine you just
the computer that wore tennis shoes. No, okay, wait a minute.
Flight of the Navigator.
The remake of Kirk Cameron. Computer wore tennis shoes. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Show notes. Yeah. Whole movie. Gotta watch it. Show notes.
It's a Tadpog requirement. So we could talk about Breath of Fire, or I could just play this on the iPad and we could watch it.
Okay.
I'm done. Tyler, Dave, and Josh watch porn.
It's just the weirdest silence.
It's the most upvoted Gone Wild audio ever.
It's just us going, nice.
Man, look at that. Look at that one.
Oh my God.
Next.
All right. So Breath of Fire. So before we get this started off, I think I have to listen, see if I hear anything.
Cough drop train.
It's the cough drop train. So just bring the cough drops to me.
New segment. Tadpog.
It's that little cart that follows the train, that little.
Yeah, the push cart thing. Yeah, I don't know what that's really called.
The thing in cartoons.
Yeah. We mentioned it on the show before. You'd think I'd have taken the time to look it up. I didn't.
Next.
I believe the train is right behind the cough drop train.
Uh-huh.
Is the Dave Reads from Wikipedia train.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Here, I got my porn pulled up still. Hold on. Okay, there we go.
Here you go.
This is just going to
Busty teen takes 8-inch deep throat. Wait a minute.
That's not right. I mean, I did have this playing while I was playing Breath of Fire. Breath of Fire. Did you like that transition?
Yeah.
I thought it sounded good. Really professional. Yeah. Or as it's known in Japan, Burisu Obu Fai Ryu no Shinchi, I'm sure that's what we all called it as children, is a role-playing video game developed by Capcom originally for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Initially, it released in Japan in 1993, but the game was later made available in North America in August 1994 thanks to Squaresoft, who handled the title's English localization and promotion. It is recognized by Capcom as their first traditional role-playing video game. It would set the precedent for future entries in the series, and it features character designs by company head of development, Kaiji Inafune, whom we all know from Mega Man. It was later released on the Game Boy Advance, and that was in 2001.
I had this growing up.
My next question was going to be if anybody played this game as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I played it over at Tyler's growing up.
Yeah. I'd never seen a commercial for it or anything like that. I only got it because I was a greedy asshole child. Because it was my birthday and my parents took me to Toys R Us, where they used to have the wall of games, the little slips. Mm-hmm. So you go and pull the slips or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I went and I bought Mario RPG.
It's like you're getting furniture or something,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. It's like you're at IKEA. Yeah.
And then they send two guys with a handcart to bring your games up to the front.
It was like $70 for Mario RPG back then. But I was like, oh, I really want another game. I need to have another game. So my aunt is also with us. So I'm just scanning. I don't care what it is. I just want one more game just because I'm a dick. So I go and at the end of the aisle, there's a $20 Super Nintendo game marked RPG. So I just grab that slip and just beg my aunt, hey, it's my birthday. Would you buy me this? Would you buy me this? Buy me this? Mm-hmm. Until she does. And that game happens to be Breath of Fire.
Okay. And you never played it.
Well, I went home, turned it on to try it, turned it off, then played Mario RPG, beat Mario RPG, then went back to Breath of Fire.
And then you beat Breath of Fire?
I beat Breath of Fire.
Josh, I know you beat this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know you. You have an innate love for RPGs. And I know you as a person. I know you.
It taught me to read, Dave.
13-year-old Josh. Sitting in front of Breath of Fire. Tugging on Tyler's sleeve. Dragon? Yes, Josh.
How many dragons, Josh? Mm-hmm.
pull out my calculator, my little map with all the monsters.
4 goblin hits? Correct. 4 goblin hits dragons. I never played this game. I take it back. I didn't play it when I was little. Mm-hmm. I tried playing it when I was in college because you guys had talked about it. And I never really got into it. I had a better time playing it for Tadpog than I did then, probably just because I wasn't doing a podcast about it back then. So now I was actually motivated where it's like, I have to like actually give this game a shot and try to play it for its merits. Mm-hmm.
I was a pretty big fan of all the Breath of Fires. I made it to 4, I put it that way. All of the Breath of Fires for like SNES and up to, I guess, PS1.
I've heard some of them are really shitty.
3 and 4 are kind of hard to get to. I don't think I would enjoy them now. I had a lot more patience back then and a lot more free time. But yeah, it was one of the situations you're in a puzzle. You can change direction, you get disoriented, and there's a battle every 2 or 3 steps.
God, I've never played a game with that many random battles. Right. To date, never played a game with that many random battles. Bravely Default turned up to 100% enemy encounter rate, not as many battles.
Really? Because that's like, you turn that up to 100% Bravely Default, it's like mm-hmm. a battle every 3 or 4 steps. Mm-hmm. Really? It's that bad?
I could not get through dungeons. I couldn't, I mean, I don't know how you did it, Josh, to play through and beat it, because I was just like, it blew me away how many just shitty random encounters there were. And the camera, you know, spins and stuff like that every time you get an encounter.
I couldn't hang with that.
So,
The story is great. I like the characters.
That's true. The character and the story
is good. I just powered through it, I guess.
So. I enjoyed you telling me about it more than playing it. But that's Breath of Fire 3. And of course, we did Breath of Fire 2.
Right.
None of us finished that.
No.
Trying to play that multiple times, I couldn't finish that game.
And I didn't finish Breath of Fire. I feel so much better saying that. I put like 8 hours into it. I rode the giant Colossus, mm-hmm. and then I was like, this game is over.
It was a disappointment to me. I remember that specifically being a disappointment, because I thought you were going to be able to do badass things.
Control it.
Controlling this giant fucking Colossus.
No, and the cutscene's really lame, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you and I really love this, Josh, because remember, we incorporated Breath of Fire elements into our Lego universe world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, we really enjoyed it as kids.
What parts did you incorporate?
Agni, who I remember was like the chief dragon summon, who looks more like a lion than a dragon. I believe there was like Ryu's sword was one of the swords we would, because Josh would order, like, you would get the books and order individual like swords and shit from Lego and have mailed to you.
You could do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could order swords for the Lego men?
Yeah.
Or, wow.
I still do that. not from Lego. There's a pretty big community.
From Flego. the makers of Duplo in Lincoln Logs.
There are actually a lot of off-brand Lego that are, like, things that are meant to fit minifigs.
Oh, they're designed?
There are...
Flego.
There's a pretty big community of Lego resellers online, so...
Is there a thriving subreddit?
Probably. I haven't looked
into it. Yeah, you get on that shit, yeah. But this, I felt Breath of Fire, when I was young and playing it, I think I enjoyed it because all the elements were new to me.
All the nudity?
All the nudity.
Dave, are you still looking at porn?
Man, I'm always looking at porn. But unless I work with you, in which I'm not looking at porn ever.
Especially not at work.
No.
Not when you walk in and I look angry for some reason and I'm not looking at porn. No,
it's not because I'm irritated that I have to stop watching porn.
But this game has every fantasy trope just slammed into it. Like, there's not really any new or fresh elements in it. Like, it is completely one hero stands up, slays like a godlike figure, dragons, dark dragons versus light dragons, a colorful cast of characters that are, strong one is slow and the fast one is weak and shit like that. So
yeah, but at the same time, you got some pretty unique characters. Like, there's one human, I think.
I think Ryu's
a dragon.
Not really a human, yeah.
Are the rest furries? Because I only got 3 characters.
There's Bo and Ox. They're furries.
See, I never met Ox.
I guess you could... I mean, Nina has wings. Yeah. So she's got shred off the line.
That's a whole other fetish.
I think Karn is the only human, which is arguable because he can
meld with everybody else. Because there's Gobi the fish and Mugu the mole. So you don't get Moog until like the very end.
No,
so,
yeah. No one wants to dress up as the mole at the furry party. They just, everyone else is fucking above the covers. the guy dressed as the mole is just burrowing underneath. Under the covers.
I think I'm going to the covers. No, no. Mm-mm. You're not ready for fuck mole. You are not ready. Do not go to the covers.
Hey, pull the blanket off. He's just stunned for 3 seconds.
Anyway.
Oh, man.
So that's what I'm watching on my iPad.
I'm kind of offended because covers are my territory.
I mean, that's only when you play Tremors.
But first off, Breath of Fire is one of the slowest moving RPGs I have ever played.
Yeah, that's in my notes too.
Oh my God, is it slow?
Everything about it is slow.
And it's consistent through the series.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Because walking is slow. There's no dash. Mm-hmm. They added that in the Game Boy Advance version, I read, which makes me really wish I had played that one instead, because I could have probably gotten twice as far in the game as
the
I did.
Time,
right,
yeah.
The same amount of time I put into it. Combat is super slow.
Like, even like the kind of the load, like pressing your pressure menu, 2-1. Menu comes up, item, 2-1. Potion, 2-1. It's, yeah, it. You have to be very patient to play this game.
Yeah. The menu's clunky, I think, as mm-hmm. well, because it's like you said, in order for... I noticed, like, when I wanted to attack somebody, it wasn't as simple as just hitting attack. It's like, all right, let me go into the menu that has a sword on it. Mm-hmm. Okay, another menu would open up. All right, there's another sword here. I guess I would click on it, and then mm-hmm. once I do that, I can choose the enemy to mm-hmm. attack.
I did like that the enemy health bars were... colorful bars that would slowly decrease as you would hit them.
Is that on regular enemies too, or was it just bosses?
I thought it was on regular enemies too.
Because if they were on regular enemies, I missed them. Because I remember thinking that I really liked that on the bosses, because that's something I'm not used to in an RPG.
I didn't notice it either on the regular enemies, so I guess we'd look it up. But
nah.
Nah, fuck it. It's not. Nope, nope.
We're not factual accurate on the show.
Tyler's wrong.
I could just be wrong.
Another thing that makes the combat slow, but I thought interesting, is the fact that all of your attacks are animated, mm-hmm. which it's not like Final Fantasy style where it's a real like one frame kind of animation. It's like there's actually some effort put into animating mm-hmm. these characters when they attack.
Yeah.
Chick with the Wings, Nina. Thank you. I played this game.
Ryu and Nina are in every Breath of Fire. Mm-hmm. They are the iconic like loving couple.
Do they get together? They hook up?
Pretty much in every Breath of Fire they do, don't they? Or
I think it's implied that they will at the end of the game or something. Yeah, it's
they've you got look that, disappointed.
Yeah.
No sex scene.
Josh wears a dragon on bird just fucking.
But the animations also hold pretty well true throughout the rest of the series. They do have a lot of effort. I'm thinking of specifically 3, where you start off as Kid Ryu. And you do kind of comical attacks where
Breath of Fire babies.
Yes, it's chibi Breath of Fire. Oh man,
I'd play through that game again. I would do that.
Where he just kind of attacks with a sword. It's just kind of a flurry while he has his head turned and like eyes covered. And you know, it's
like slap fight style.
Yeah, sort of cute little animations like that. So, but yeah, the boss animations also. I've always been a fan of all the. How much detail goes into the bosses?
Oh yeah, I thought
of, the Breath of Fire series. So.
In this game in particular, I thought all the sprites looked really good. Like I really do think this is next to Chrono Trigger. I think this is like the best looking RPG I played on the Super Nintendo.
I feel like in battle it does. Yeah. Oh, out of battle,
yeah,
it's,
that's
it's
true.
Pretty.
It's super simplified.
It's RPG Maker kind of out of battle, but in combat, yeah, it does look really really good.
Yeah, because the overworld looks pretty rough. but yeah, once you get into combat, it's completely different. Like I remember actually watching some friends play this game when I was in middle school, and I didn't realize it was this game until I was just playing it here recently for the show. And one of the enemies is called a Warhog.
Yeah.
And it's this like it essentially looks like a shaved Bebop from Ninja Turtles, and he's like spinning this flail around, and it's like his big old fat torso is actually a different sprite from his legs. So like his top is kind of bouncing, you know? And it's like, until I saw that, I was like, holy shit, that's what those guys were playing. Cause like, it was just like, it took me back instantly. Like I was back in that kid's living room, like being like, what the fuck are you guys playing? You know we have Final Fantasy III, right?
Warhog is a bad word.
Don't please, I can't. What? I can't go through another breakdown.
But let's see, you're just Ryu for a long time when you start off the game, because like there's a scenario where Light Dragon versus Dark Dragons, a girl named Sarah turns everybody to stone, yeah, including Ryu, and then Ryu's the only one later to break back out.
Mm-hmm. She does it to save everyone from a fire.
Because he is an immortal. You find that out because if you watch the intro, you see the quickening. Okay. Ryu holds up his sword, lightning strikes down on him. He's an immortal. That's why he reappears throughout
every
breath
of fire. Yeah. But then I feel like in this RPG, you start out weaker than you do in, like, most other games. Because I remember, like...
you start off as level one as opposed to main character starting off at level six or...
Like, even in, like... Well, in Chrono Trigger, like, you start at level one, but you go out... You can do a few battles without having to go rest.
Right.
Like, I struggled to get through, like, the minimal boss battle, like, in Breath of Fire. Like, if I go out, I fight two jellies at level one, I'm dead. You restart until you fight one jelly, and you struggle to get through that battle, immediately go back and rest. Because, like, it is a long, weak slog for a while.
I bought a shitload of herbs.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I spent all of my money because herbs, I had the same problem.
There's a fucking H. In the
way. It's silent. Herb is a person. Herb is something, well, it's something.
But let's see, because you're usually each, I don't think Ryu has an action. You're normally, someone in the front of your party has a special action they can perform. Mm-hmm.
And that was the first game I played, the Breath of Fire was, that had that, where you change party leader. You can do a different type of world map action.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I only barely got to experience that because my game ended shortly after I got Bo. Mm-hmm. And I know Bo, I'm assuming, is a fox man.
I think he's a wolf man.
He's orange. But he does look like a wolf. You're right. He looks like an orange. Let's just say orange wolf. Let's compromise.
He's confused. He's lupine confused. So
whenever he shows up to the furry party, they're like, what are you? And he just runs out of the room crying. But yeah, on the overworld, he can like move through forests. Mm-hmm. And other characters, so you can access parts of the world that you couldn't previously.
And you can eventually hunt with him.
You can hunt.
So I really enjoyed that mechanic.
I did too. I haven't seen that in any other RPG, but you guys have played more than I have. Does this exist outside of Breath of Fire that you've seen?
That you can hunt and fish outside? You know, I can't think of anything on top of my head that you can do that in.
I'm sure there is. Yeah, I can't think of anything.
But that stuff, as I was playing, I was like, wow, this kind of is... It almost felt ahead of its time because that's something you see commonly in like every MMO now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So seeing that from a game that came out in 93 was just like, wow.
I know actually, Wild Arms.
That's
you
true.
You can do a few different actions, but I mean, that's PlayStation. So it's...
Well, you can also fish in Breath of Fire. And fishing is like really important because that's how you get pretty much all the best stuff in the game.
Oh, really? You fish it up?
Yeah. The dragon sword and how you get special items to go to other new areas.
You eventually get to like catch whales and
Is it a skill like, or is it just kind of random?
I think you got to get the rod.
There's like rod one through rod five.
Gotcha.
And that's one because your rod won't be able to pull certain stuff up in certain spots. Like, I don't think you can even get the best summon unless you, like, fish up, like, tablets or whatever that lead you to Agni and stuff like that, so.
Cool. You know, you're talking about all this cool stuff. Spoiler. I'm going to go ahead and spoil this. Mm-hmm. I really like this game, and I want to finish it. I don't know that I can, though, because I have a lot of things that I'd like to do with my life.
And porn just consumes it all.
Porn consumes 80% of it. Another 20% is work, although that kind of overlaps.
It's finding the right porn.
And saving it for view at home.
Uh-huh. Saving it, going back, finding out it's been deleted, and you have to start the whole process
all over again. Can I interject? I'm sorry. No. I know you got like an actual point to make about this game, but can I say something that it is the saddest feeling in the world when you bookmark a video and then 2 months later you're like, oh God, I got to find something fast. I don't have 3 hours to kill here. I got to find something quick. And you go through your favorites. It's like, copyright. This video is taken down.
Yep.
This video is taken down. Just where's the permanency in our lives, guys? I made a commitment to bookmark this video. It needs to be there for me.
That's when you go to Pirate Bay and just download the whole thing.
See, that's different. That's a level of commitment that I'm just not ready for.
Streaming, okay.
Streaming,
taking
fine.
Up a hard drive space, no nope. Thank you. You know there's a Chun-Li cameo in this game?
Yes. Although I didn't get to see it myself, I read about it.
I read about it too, but I never got it in the original one. My playthrough when I was young. Not that I probably would have recognized Chun-Li.
It's super obscure. Because it's talk to a thief or something in one of the cities.
Mm-hmm. And like turn your back and turn back around. And
yeah, you have to tell them like yes two times and then no and then yes again. Like it's something I don't think you would ever do unless someone told you, hey, do this and you'll see Chun-Li.
Can you see your panties? No, it's a horrible overworld sprite, but still.
Yeah.
The story, while the whole game did to me have like a darker epic feel, because the music is, I think, isn't super upbeat for the most part, and it's kind of minimal. Yeah. But so as you're going slow and the music is darker and slower and more minimal and there's not a lot of humor in it and you're fighting these dragons for, you know, the sake of the world, like it has a much more epic and strong feel than like Breath of Fire 2, which just felt like
Saturday
most
morning
of
cartoons.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I loved the music in this game. Like I really, as I was playing it, I was super impressed. I thought that it was definitely on par with the Final Fantasy series. I thought it was even, kind of reminded me of some Chrono Trigger music. I really thought the music was good at helping push the minimal story along, which is my biggest complaint about the game.
Yeah, it's just like, it's basically go to a town, find the problem, find the boss, rinse and repeat.
Go to the dungeon, kill the boss, come back, go to next town.
Yep. Yeah. Occasionally, you'll get a new character, and then you solve their problem. Use their ability to get past it that you couldn't get past before,
right.
And there you go.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed, because I like the story. Mm-hmm. I'm like Miller. I play it for the story.
And then I enjoy the battles more later on, but until you get more characters that have magic and fight more a little bit diverse enemies, you don't fight. There's not a ton of variety in the enemies you fight in this game.
No. Like those, the beginning slimes,
yeah,
and beaks, the puffer fish / birds
for the rest of the game.
I know, is it? I mean, because it felt like it was entirely the whole time. I'm like, another fucking beak? Are you serious?
Yeah, just a different palette swap. Yeah. You'll fight those the whole game.
No. And it's like sometimes it wasn't even a palette swap for me. I was like, I've gained 10 levels since I've been fighting these, and it's just the same thing, but it's harder now.
Yep. Well, it's not just that, not just Breath of Fire, it's like the whole series, you fight those two enemies throughout. So.
Yeah, they're pretty iconic. But all the bosses, I thought, I think there may be a couple times where you fight a repeat or at least a similar boss.
Yeah, and I remember fighting General twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was it. But other than that, all the bosses were pretty unique. And apparently everybody in the Breath of Fire world can morph into some kind of demon or creature. So
it's like your driver's license.
Yeah.
You turn a certain age and you just get assigned what you can turn into.
Yeah. As you'll come up to the boss of the dungeon or whatever you're in, the jail, and it'll just be a guy. And you'll go into combat mode and he'll just become this giant demon creature.
I feel like a lot of early battles are just like, there's not a whole lot of tactics to them. It's just like, you hit them, they hit you. You do that a few times, use a potion, do that a few more times,
man.
And then they're dead.
Can I talk to you about tactics? This game.
Earth Key.
Earth Key. I got so far just using the Earth Key. And even when I stopped playing, Earth Key was still super overpowered. Because you get it from a dungeon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really random. You're sent to this dungeon because earthquakes are happening in this town. And he's like, I know what's going on. In the basement of this castle, there's an earthquake machine. And you're like, seems legit, Elder. Guess I'm going to have to go. So you go, you find the earthquake machine in the basement. And then there's an option. Take the key, yes or no. And I'm like, something bad's probably happening. I say yes, but I'll be damned. I want this key. I took the key and it turns into an item in your inventory that you can use over and over and over again. It's never consumed. And it deals damage to all enemies that you're fighting. Like, all enemies. Like, this is the first area of effect, I think, in the game.
There's not many until you get magic, blue. Right?
Yeah.
So I was just strolling through. I'd come across, like, a group of overpowered enemies and just drop an Earth Key. All right, next.
Yeah. It reminds me of Ultima. Was it Quest of the Avatar?
I never played it.
You get there's this
dark skull.
Yeah, there's this skull you get, and you use it infinite uses. You know, it never runs out or gets used up. Just annihilates all enemies.
Is it viable until like the end of the game?
The point of the game isn't to like beat a boss or anything.
It's to not use that item.
It's to
sort of.
Yeah, pretty much. You have to achieve avatarhood, which you have all these different
all the virtues stuff. Yeah.
And using that skull once just completely like puts you like all the way at the bottom of the ticker. So
that's cool. Yeah. I like that. I like that idea.
But it's an easy way to level up. You could just, I mean, it's instant death for all enemies, any enemy, just dead.
I'm afraid to ask, but are there repercussions for me using the Earth Key?
I don't think so.
I don't recall.
Later on in the game, do I just come to a town that's just leveled? Like, I've just been using that Earth Key over and over. Every time I use it, like, this town crumbles a little bit more.
Every time you use the Earth Key, I get to hit you one time. And that's how much damage he does.
I think you have to use it at, well, not like in battle, but I think it leaves your inventory.
Oh, yeah.
It just fucking packs up.
Earth Key has left the party.
You're getting way too handsy with me, man.
I'm not a piece of meat, all right?
But this, I feel like it was, overall, I enjoyed this game. It's kind of hard to imagine, like, that this is the same system that has Chrono Trigger, Earthbound, Super Metroid, like, this game and those games came out on the same system. Because a lot of these elements, like, aren't a far, outside of the in-game battle animations, it's not a far cry from, like, an NES RPG.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, although I think there are some things that really set it apart. I like when you're in your battle, you know, like you do when you battle. That looks really good. And the music sounds, I really liked the music. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, that was a tipping point for me. I don't know if it maybe gets worse the further you get into the game, but from what I heard, it was really good. I'm trying to think of another RPG at the time that had day and night other than Simon's Quest, which it's a side scroller with RPG elements.
Yeah.
But
where it plays into like the mechanics of the game.
Yeah, it matters because you have to sneak into that one town that's occupied by enemy soldiers. Mm-hmm. If you try to go to the town during the day, they run you out of town. Mm-hmm. But at night, the main guard is sleeping and you can sneak in through town. Yeah. I thought that was really, really advanced.
And there are a lot of like vendors or certain buildings that are only open at day or at night, or fish you can catch or prey that appears for you to hunt and stuff like that.
Yeah, it reminded me of like Oblivion a little bit because it was like nighttime would come and I'd go into a town and I'd be like, fuck, everyone's asleep. Like, I gotta wait until morning so everyone's out and about in town.
Did you eventually get the hourglass? And that you just use the item and it transforms day and night and vice versa.
That's cool, but I also don't know how I feel about it. Yeah. You're making me question myself. Every time you use it, you lose karma.
If you use the Earth Key, it just shatters.
Choose one or the other.
But because I mentioned like fishing for the extras, I feel like all of the extras to sort of max out your character are all pretty damn obscure. Because like not anybody talks about a lot of the items or where they're supposed to be. Because I remember like you have to have Nina at like a high level to where you can get her up and fly with her to like this one little island hidden kind of amongst. And there's a tiny castle on it. And if you just go, you don't go into the castle. You just go up and check it and you get the Tri-Ring. And the Tri-Ring is the second best weapon compared to the Dragon Sword. And you can get it like relatively early. But I remember no one tells you about it. No one talks about this castle. No one talks about this weapon. I just happened to get it, and I just destroyed most of the game with this weapon. Because that, and then Agni is really obscure, and he's necessary to get the real ending of the game. Because if you don't get him, you get sort of a false, abrupt ending.
And he's Agni's a summon or a playable character?
He's a dragon that you turn into in battle.
Oh, okay.
Like, all of your characters absorb. Merge into one. Yeah.
Okay. So like
his
Voltron.
Attack is yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. His attack is calling down lightning throughout the whole screen, and it basically kills everybody.
Mm-hmm. So mega Earth Key.
Yep. Yep.
You merge with the Earth Key.
Oh, God. The whole next Breath of Fire 2, actually. Now it makes sense. You're all Earth Keys.
And then, Josh, you'd mentioned Karn, who the thief. I think he can pick chests or doors when he's in the front of your party. But otherwise, he's really useless.
Oh, that's a shame.
Until he gets spells later on, which is the spells are ridiculously named.
You meet,
oh, God.
You've got these, Nina, who's a spellcaster. Mm-hmm. You got Ryu, who's the hero, the dragon hero of the game.
Blue, the ancient Naga, who has the most powerful magic in the game.
And you meet like this ancient or this like this elder or something, and he's like, you have to do like a little quest before he teaches you this spell. Who the fuck does he teach the spell to?
The thief. The thief. I'm guessing.
Yes. Why? I don't know. It never explains why Karn is the only one, the thief, who has this.
Maybe the elder recognized that he was a little underdeveloped and he was feeling generous and wanted. The thief really didn't feel like he was part of the team. He's like, come
here. Hey, you look depressed. I'll teach you a magic spell. Come here.
You look perfectly well balanced mentally. Come here.
But then there are some characters who are generally useless, like Gobi is pretty useless. Hmm. He's only good underwater, which are only underwater like a small fraction of the game.
Thank God.
Yeah.
That sounds awful.
Yeah. Bo is okay, but his usefulness wears off later on.
Yeah, he's got a couple magic spells at first that can get you through a couple tough spots. But
Do any of the characters join the party like for a legitimately good reason? Because I only met Nina and Bo, and Nina is just like, I'm coming with you.
You have to pay Karn, right?
Yeah, I think you do.
Okay, so
money.
So money.
So one character in this game has motivation.
Well, Blue knows that Ryu is like the prophesized person to help save the world. Okay. So then like she joins to help fulfill the prophecy.
See, that's also acceptable.
By the way, you get to see her naked in Breath of Fire 3.
Damn.
Why don't we play that? Bo also doesn't really give a reason. He just shoots an arrow and tells you he's joining you. Like, all right.
Fuck, yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. I guess he doesn't have a family.
Oh, poor Bo.
Yeah.
Poor
identity crisis. He doesn't know if he's fox or wolf.
There we go. See? Yeah, this is his journey of self-discovery. He needs to find his spirit human.
His human father had a three-way with a fox and a wolf.
Well, who has it nowadays?
I think, 'cause at the end, basically, you're going to fight against the goddess Tyr, who is like the goddess of the dark dragons.
The goddess of crying.
Yeah. And you get to her at the end, and she's like this little girl who's glowing with power. And when you fight her, you can kill her, but the game just kind of ends if you kill her like that, just with your regular characters. Like it says, like, Ryu, I forget what he does. It's kind of a neutral ending. He saves the world, but he has to like die or something like that as well. So,
I've never seen that ending, but I'm just just picturing it. Ryu saved the world, but he had to die.
Sorry.
It's just a tombstone, Oregon Trail style. Here lies Ryu.
Plays the Price is Right music. But then Sarah tells you to, like, she appears during that battle and tells you to summon the Great One to help reveal her true form.
Cthulhu.
But if you don't have Agna, you can't, so it ruins the ending. If you have Agna, you summon him, then she transforms into her horrible, wicked, dark dragon form, and then
it's
you
like
fight her and kill her.
It's not unlike Cthulhu. It's like a big tentacle creature thing. Yeah, so.
And you fish this. You fish.
You have to fish it
that
out.
It is Cthulhu.
You have to fish it out with the Rod 5.
Which, oh, hey, sup? Let's go kill a goddess.
I'm down. I ain't got shit to do. Been fighting sharks all day.
The goddess is another recurring character in the Breath of Fire series. She's usually the main villain.
Tyr, or is it just a different goddess?
I think it's Tyr in 3. I don't remember what it was in 2.
I didn't get far enough in 2.
I think it was something different in 2. It was a goddess, an evil goddess.
Well, 2 was like, it was like an evil church that had been infiltrated by like demons.
A 4, I think 4 is different. I think you fight, if I remember, it's been a long time. I think you fight like yourself. Like, it's pretty fucked up because you're used to be like a villain, then you like split in half, and then you try to merge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's
like you do.
Yeah.
I got some achievements.
You got achievements?
I do.
What you got?
Well, the first one is Doof Goes Fishing. You unlock Doof Goes Fishing.
Uh-huh.
Doof is one of the spells that Karn can cast to merge the three different characters. So you turn into Doof, and then you just fish.
Does Doof ever golf?
Nope.
No.
Sadly not. Right.
So that series didn't last nearly as long as Dorf.
I've got I Blew Myself, which that is you finish all the enemies with one of Blue's mass spells in a battle.
This character's name Blue?
Blue. Yeah, like Cordon Bleu.
Okay. Blah.
Blah. And then tearing it up, or tearing it up.
Okay.
Spell T-Y-R apostrophe N. That's when you get the true ending.
Okay. I didn't unlock any of those. Sorry. I'm not a hardcore gamer. I'm a casual Breath of Fire guy. Josh, do you have any achievements?
Yeah, I'll do Key to the City.
Okay.
Where you find a destroyed city that you've destroyed by using the fucking Earth Key so much.
You do destroy a city with it. You do level that city it's in.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, there you go. So destroy the city with Earth.
Thank God there's one I unlocked. I've got a couple.
Okay.
I got a couple. The first one is Bow Nose Archery. And to unlock Bow Nose Archery, you have to kill 100 deer while on the overworld map.
That's good. It's good.
The second achievement I've got, you can tell I actually liked this game because I prepared achievements ahead of time.
As opposed to going, right. Fuck.
That's a true sign that I enjoyed the game, right? I took time to like think about shit. The second one I've got is What a Horrible Night to Have a Curse.
I was going to make that comment earlier when you were talking about day and night.
See, that's
why couldn't I have ruined your achievement? Fuck.
Now if you were paying attention at home, you realize that I mentioned Simon's Quest earlier in the show that so I could make this reference to my achievements. Pretty sneaky.
That's pretty good. Pretty sneaky, says.
To unlock What a Horrible Night to Have a Curse, it's a story unlock. You know, sometimes you'll have an achievement that just pops as you progress through the story. You get that when you lift the Wizard's Curse in the town of Romero, which is plagued with zombies, pop culture reference.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even catch that.
There's a few that I want to go over real quick before we wind down. There's also, you mentioned Chun-Li,
mm-hmm.
Which is a self-reference from Capcom. I'm not super familiar with Mega Man, but supposedly one of the bosses has a striking resemblance to one of the Robot Masters, I think in Mega Man 4. There's a town called Romero, which of course is named after George Romero of Night of the Living Dead. And I loved this. And this is one that I noticed completely by myself. There's portraits throughout the entire world. There's portraits of Arthur from Ghosts and Goblins. At all the NPC houses, there's like these little portraits and it's that's Arthur. Pretty
good. Yeah, I never played a Ghosts and Goblins game at that point. So yeah, missed that completely. It's pretty good. It's good.
That's all I got. Yeah, I maybe could make up some more, but they're not really going to be that good.
We've got, 8.5 more minutes? Let's just watch porn.
You want to watch porn? Yeah. All right, I can pull it up. Give me a search term. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Had a lot of fun today watching porn while we record.
Mm-hmm.
letting Josh take some of the heat while I just watch some busty petites. But unfortunately, it's time to wind the show down. And you know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to assign this game a beard on a scale of beard to beard, which tells everybody how much you love or hate the game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you were to give this game a beard, mm-hmm. what kind of beard would it be? Beard.
I would give this a full-length Dave Moore brand wizard beard.
So like just really thin whiskers.
And the length of time it would take you to grow out a wizard beard is about how long it takes to beat Breath of Fire.
80 years.
Yeah, so there you go.
I could do I'm pretty sure I could do the samurai thing where they have like just the mustache in the corner of the, yeah, I guess it is. I guess I could probably do a Fu Manchu. That's if you beat the Japanese version of the game.
Yeah.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, mm-hmm. from glasses to glasses, mm-hmm. that would tell the world how you feel about it, what kind of glasses would that be?
Glasses. I would give that two piles of sand that I have set in my front yard, and I'm waiting for lightning to strike them so that they become glasses, and I can then turn them into spectacles.
Going back to this game is long. Accurate, however. Accurate. Which would happen first? The lightning making the sand glass or me growing a wizard beard?
Probably your wizard beard.
I don't know. Because every time someone would be like, hey, you trying to grow a wizard beard? I'd shave it off. Well,
these two piles of sand, are they in a different location? Or are you going to put one down, wait for the lightning, then put the other one down?
They're side by side. They're side by side.
And you have to configure the lightning towers in order.
It's me outside jumping around my yard, dodging lightning.
You got to calibrate the towers, then you got to dodge the lightning when it comes.
I tell you what, I'd probably finish Breath of Fire before I calibrate all of the towers in Final Fantasy X. Yeah.
Fuck, yeah. Fuck that. Fuck that, man.
Man.
I think we got Leva to do that for us. At least I did, my record. Because she was just...
Was she really good at that minigame?
I guess she just... I don't know. She didn't have anything better to do, maybe. I don't know. She just sat there for like 3 hours calibrating lightning towers for me.
No, yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah. I do have one. It's not on the topic of Breath of Fire, but I was cruising around on Reddit today and saw something that just made me laugh.
Okay.
And I wanted to share it.
Bailey J? you got a line trap reference for us?
No, it's I subscribe to the subreddit Florida Man.
What the fuck is that? Is that all the news stories?
All the news stories start off with Florida Man does this. So it's a Superman with an F on his chest for Florida Man.
Okay.
So this one was Florida Woman.
Okay.
Florida woman arrested for using 911 to hit on an officer. A Punta Gorda woman was arrested Friday night for misuse of 911 at some place in Florida.
A Punta Gorda?
Punta Gorda. After asking dispatchers to send her an officer she found attractive back to her home for some extra duty. Police say the initial 911 call happened just after 6 p.m. when Maria Montanez complained that she wanted her Corvette back. When an officer arrived at her home, she was very drunk. The 58-year-old woman immediately told the officer he was sexy and asked if he was married. She then started oversharing. Montanez allegedly told the officer, I haven't been penetrated in years. I am so horny. The officer tried to steer the conversation back to the topic of the call. Tried to ask her what he could do for her. Montanez's response
was, that's not the right question. I don't know what this guy was thinking.
Montanez says, you can fuck me, according to the report. After telling Montanez that her request was inappropriate, the officer got past the sexual advances and she told him that she signed ownership of a Corvette to her stepson, blah, 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 blah. So then they actually arrest her for misuse of 911.
Uh-huh.
Before they arrested her, she called back again to complain to 911. The officer didn't fuck her and pissed her off.
Well, yeah. That's why she called in the first place.
When they interviewed her, she said, he was a perfect gentleman, but when I asked him to fuck me, he turned me down and it made me angry.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to see that missed connection on Craigslist.
It's like, when asked why she misused 911, Montanez said, how else am I going to get someone to fuck me?
Oh, that's just sad. Yeah, it was funny. Now it's sad. Thanks, Tyler.
No, it's still funny. It reminds me of like the 911 call, like the McDonald's customer who called 911 because McDonald's got their order wrong. Like I think they were out of chicken nuggets or something. So the person called 911. They got arrested as well. Yep.
I remember a few years ago there was a local news. It was a cop that called in off duty, called 911 because him and his wife baked pot brownies and he thought he OD'd on them, and so he's calling in for help.
Yeah.
Remember at Mr. Gaddy's, just close to here, we were little, Brandon used to call 911 from the payphone and hang up. Brandon of Axelay fame. Until like one time, like the cops showed up and like there was a kerfuffle about it.
Oh, cops caused the kerfuffles. Instead of fucking 60-year-old woman.
58-year-old woman.
Come on, Josh.
I dropped a line. 60. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. So don't miss the next episode. We'll be talking about, well, for the next original flavor Wednesday will be the 42nd ranked game, Evo Search for Eden. Other shit Monday. We don't know yet.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Don't worry. Well, don't worry. We got this.
While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Give the 5-star rating. In the review, you can just say what game you want us to play, and that'll get our attention. We'll eventually do it.
But I feel like we need to have, like, fine print there.
Well, we will somewhere.
Yeah,
it's so fine, you have to find it.
We really need to emphasize eventually.
Eventually.
Eventually, we'll do it.
Earth keys need not comment.
Need not apply.
Please, Earth keys. If you're listening, we need your 5-star reviews. Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we will be back next week. In the meantime, if you can't get enough of just this juicy 911 content, feel free to drop by tadpog.com. We might have a link to that story in the show notes. I'm not going to promise that. Mm-hmm. Not going to promise that. But we might. You can also find us on facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people doing some really cool shit. I'm trying to think of a really good post recently. Right now we're trading 3DS friend codes, guys.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
Tyler and I are both playing the shit out of Bravely Default. So if you want to like have us as villagers in Narende, which I've just referred to as Tadpog Village,
I would love to, but my wife won't buy it for me.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't. We should call her right now. Yeah. I'm sure she's not asleep or anything.
No, it's not like she's work or anything.
I'm sure she would just love for somebody to call her out of the blue and just yell at her for not buying something.
Okay, wait. Before we do it, let's all get really drunk. So yeah, drop by Facebook. Give me all your friend codes. I need villagers. I need ability links. I need it all because I'm only in chapter 4. I need the help. You can also find us on Twitter. We're at tadpog_podcast. It is cumbersome, but that fucking cheese dick who has the Tadpog username, he ain't coming off it. Mm-mm. And I can't blame him. Clearly it's in demand. our Twitter army is strong, Tyler. Mm-hmm. It's strong. It grows by the day, especially thanks to Taryn of Jaws fame. Mm-hmm. Because,
catch
man,
up to Facebook.
She started talking about it, and we started getting some likes and follows. Crazy, crazy.
Because we should probably thank Josh Nance for coming on the show.
I'm just staring at him. I'm just staring. I'm waiting for him to say
something. I was under pressure. Baby blues.
Moves by Sycamore Drive.
Damn. That's, he already knows his head.
That's good, Josh.
Yeah.
That's good. I think we were just going to thank you for being on the show, though.
Oh. Oh, well.
But that's good. You're ready.
Yeah.
You're ready.
I'm old hat at this. Come on. I'm like 2 episodes ahead of Nicole now.
I think you might just be one.
Oh, shit.
Let's record another one right now. All right.
Like, the one where Josh gets ahead of Nicole. That's the one where it's called. It's 5 minutes long.
Wait, that one is us watching porn on my iPad.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Bonus Friday episode. You're welcome, internet.
But then Nicole comes and wants to do it like, now I have to watch porn with you guys. And we're not going to say no. And it's just gonna be her making like, ugh.
No, that's not.
I got confused because you're like, and then Nicole comes. And I was like, we're the ones watching porn.
Nicole really gets off on other people watching porn. I don't know. It's just a weird thing she has.
There's just some things you don't talk about on the podcast, Josh. Where can they find Moves by Sycamore Drive?
The show notes.
At?
Tadpog.com.
All right.
That's it. Or where they can reach us. Because we're doing phone calls again.
We are doing phone calls. I don't have it memorized, so I'm going to read it upside down from this sheet in front of Tyler.
Okay.
If you want to give us a call, you can. Tadpog operators are always standing by. You give us a call at 270-883-2555.
Here you go.
We are still accepting drunk calls.
Mm-hmm. Bonus points if you're old ladies. Old, yeah. Confused ladies.
If you're 58 and want us to fuck you, please call. Operators are standing by to fuck you.
Let's see Maka's best impression of a 58-year-old woman.
We might get that. We might get that. Until next week,
Tropical Capricorn. Josh didn't say it.
Oh, fuck.
Well, tits are just a butt on your chest.